You're listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world. Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch, and on this, the very first show of the new series, we have music from England, Ireland and France and California. We have an interview with a Canadian lady who's been living in Northern Israel for many years now and seen some incredible miracles there. Plus, we have the first of our new faith-based international news features, Bread News. We introduced the show this week with a track called The Reel of Pickering Pick from English folk band Eden Burning. We'll have more great music for you shortly, but first let me introduce today's guest, Irene Bredlow. Irene is a Canadian lady who travels all over the world, but she's lived in Israel now for over 30 years. I visited her in her Galilee home, and I asked her what brought her to Israel.
When I first came up here to the Galilee, and that's many, many years ago, I asked the Lord, what on earth can I do? I don't speak the language. Language is very difficult for me. Thank goodness there are people that are very gifted that way. I'm not gifted in languages, so everything I learn is through great difficulty. So I prayed and prayed until I got an answer from him. And the Lord said to me, believe for me to visit them supernaturally. So for 10 years straight, with a lot of fasting and prayer, I declared the supernatural visitation of Almighty God. I walked around the Sea of Galilee 3 times as a prophetic act, believing God to visit the people around this whole area. And just believed for supernatural visitation, which, by the way, what I've seen since I've been up here has given me faith to believe for Canada. They need supernatural visitations too. But anyhow, I met a Jewish lady very briefly one day through a friend, a Jewish friend of mine. She has since passed on into the presence of Jesus. But her friend had a supernatural visitation from the Lord. She didn't know me, but she knew my name, Irene. This lady had a supernatural visitation. She didn't tell it to me because, of course, I didn't speak enough Hebrew, and she spoke some English, but not good enough to say it in detail. So she told my friend, and this is the story. She was sleeping in her bed with her husband, and this man dressed in white came into her bedroom, took her by the arm and shook her awake. When she woke up, here is this man dressed in white leaning over her. Well, of course she was petrified. She was scared. At first she thought it was a burglar coming to kill them. Then she thought, oh, he didn't kill him, so it must be the rabbi. He's upset because they haven't given any money to the synagogue. And then she thought, well, maybe it's a prophet. Maybe it's Elijah, she thought. It could be Elijah because, you know, they speak about Elijah. And she just was petrified, and what she couldn't figure out is why her husband didn't wake up. It was just she who woke up. So this person dressed in white said to her this, I have helped you win some money. Now I want you to share it with a couple of people. And he named my friend, and the other person he named was me. Of course, she knew where my friend lived, but she didn't know where I lived. And God said, I want you to bring them fruit and vegetables. Now, she lived on a kibbutz. Before the sun was up, she was out there getting fruit and vegetables. She was so scared. And she drove it and dropped it off at my friend's place. And then my friend called me and said, I have fruit and vegetables for you. What this lady on the kibbutz did not know is that that whole week I had no food in the house. I didn't have any fruit, no vegetables. If God would have sent somebody to my house, it would have been very embarrassing for him. I would have to give them water, a glass of water, which of course I would have done. But there was no food to feed them, so I started praying. Lord, you got to speak to somebody anywhere, somewhere, to bring food to this house so that you're not embarrassed if anybody should come because you're taking care of me. And I thank you for it. And I completely forgot about it. So when I heard the story, I was quite thrilled.
Drum that frightens the children. Don't sing your songs about winning and losing. Sit down beside me, the green fields are bleeding. Sing me the music of healing. Sing me a song of a lover returning. The darker the night, the sooner the morning. Bring me the news of a new day at dawning. Sing me the music of healing. Ah, the heart's so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. Sometimes the truth's like a hen in a cornfield. You know that it's there, you never can catch it. All you can do is follow its footsteps. Sing me the music of healing. Who would have thought I'd feel so contented to learn I was wrong after all of my rambles? I've learned to be hard, I've learned how to tremble. Sing me the music of healing. Ah, the heart's so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. The cycle of vengeance keeps turning till each other's sorrows and songs we are learning. Peace is the prize for those who are daring. Sing me the music of healing. Time is your friend, it cures every sorrow. How can I wait for another tomorrow? One step today and a thousand will follow. Sing me the music of healing. So wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. Ah, the heart so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again.
That was Ireland's Rodney Corner and France's Jean-Pierre Rudolph with a song called Music of Healing. And now I'm back for more of that interview with Arian Bredlow in Galilee.
Now, I enjoyed the fruit and the vegetables, and they were very good, and I thanked him for that provision. I thought it was so great how he did it. But this lady, for the next 2 weeks, she was afraid to go to bed and go to sleep. Her husband kept saying to her, "Why don't you come to bed?" "Oh no, I just want to finish reading this book." She delayed it as long as she could. She was so fearful that this man dressed in white, because Jesus never told her who he was to begin with. Not at that time, anyhow. So after 2 weeks, she went to sleep, and sure enough, here he comes again. And she says, "Who are you?" And he said to her, "I am Jesus, your Messiah. I want you to go into Russia, and I want you to bring your relatives out. I will help you to establish them here in the land." And he told her that there was going to be a Russian Orthodox priest there at the airport that will help her. Well, that was quite amazing. Her brother, apparently, had a business to do there, and so she got on very quickly with him and was able to go in with him. So, I mean, God had that all arranged. When she was there at the airport in Russia, sure enough, the last two people there was this Russian Orthodox priest and her, and he said, "Do you come from Israel?" She said, "Yes." He says, "Oh, you're the one." He had a supernatural visitation that night, and God said to him, "Someone is coming from Israel. I want you to help her." And so she was instrumental in bringing probably about 30 of her relatives out by a real hand of God. And that was wonderful. So the years went by, and then the next thing I knew, my friend said, "She's in the hospital. Please come and pray for her." I said, "Sure, I'll be happy to pray for her." She said she has a brain tumor, and the doctors can't do anything for her. They're going to send her home, and she's asking for you to come and to pray for her. Okay, fine. I'm very happy. Anyhow, I wanted to pray for her so that she'd be filled with the Spirit, because she needed that strength. So I went into the hospital. Well, on the way to the hospital, I met another Jewish lady who knew me. She knew that I was a believer, but she says, "My mother is dying she had a heart attack. Would you please come and pray for her, but come quickly, because I don't want my brother to know that you're praying for her." I said, "Sure, but first I gotta pray for this other lady." So I went into the room. There were three people in this particular room. I said, "How are you doing?" She says, "Well, they're sending me home to die." I said, "Is it a brain tumor that you are supposed to have?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Look, I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray for you, there is a gift that he who visited you wants to give to you as a present. Would you like to receive it?" "I'll receive anything he wants to give to me." So I just led her very quickly. And, of course, I thought she'd be very quiet, you know, about it. And so I just said, "Take a deep breath, open your mouth, and just begin to speak. Hatala boshiana moya." And she did. But she didn't do it softly. She Hatala boshiana moya. She was yelling it. And, of course, the other two ladies that were in the same room with her, they were trying to pull the curtain away to find out what's going on. Maybe they thought she was dying. I don't know. But anyhow, I got out of there quickly because I didn't want anybody accusing me of starting anything. So from then on, I went with my friend to the other lady. She was already in her 80s, probably about 84 or something like that. She was unconscious, not expected to live. I just gently laid my hand on her head and I says, "God, I don't even know how to pray for this lady. Is it her time to go? If it's her time to go, don't take her until she knows you. If she's not ready yet and you still want to do a work with her and there's something she needs to do, then would you please heal her and send her home in Jesus' name. Amen." And I got out of there. It took me about 5 seconds probably to pray. Who would be walking up the hallway but her son? And as I walked past him, I thought to myself, "Jesus, you and I know something that he doesn't know."
Bread News International.
Tour and Shroud could be older than we thought. BBC News reports, scientific tests conducted in 1988 concluded that the cloth was a medieval hoax, but the Shroud of Turin is much older than suggested by the 1980s radiocarbon dating, according to a new study in a peer-reviewed journal. A research paper published in Thermochemica Acta suggests the Shroud is between 1,300 and 3,000 years old. The Shroud, which bears the faint image of a blood-covered man, is believed by many to be Christ's burial cloth. The author of the paper dismisses 1988 carbon-14 dating tests, which concluded then that the linen sheet was a medieval fake. Raymond Rogers says his research and chemical tests show the material used in the 1988 analysis was cut from a medieval patch woven into the shroud to repair fire damage.
Did reggae musician Bob Marley become a Christian on his deathbed? Now a reggae gospel singer, for years Judy Mott sang vocals with Bob Marley as part of his backing band, The Wailers. Judy explained to Cross Rhythms interviewer Mike Rimmer, "I was a Rasta for 22 years and I was genuine, but God had a different plan. After 22 years, I became very unfulfilled, dissatisfied. I started a search inside." Judy became a Christian in the mid-90s, when many other successful reggae artists came to Christian faith. After one of her performances, Mike asked her what she thought Marley would have made of her conversion, and what she replied made his jaw drop. She shared, "When Bob was on his dying bed, his wife Rita told me, he stretched out his hand and said, 'Jesus, take me.' I was wondering why Bob said Jesus and not Selassie. Then he met a friend of mine, and his sister, who is a Christian, was a nurse at the hospital where Bob was before he passed on, and she led him to Jesus Christ. So when Rita saw him saying, 'Jesus, take me,' he had already received the Lord in his life."
A First Nations pastor plans to open a Native American embassy in Jerusalem, according to the Canadian Jewish News. Winnipeg Native American pastor Raymond McLean is making plans to move to Jerusalem and open a First Nations embassy with himself as the first ambassador. After a First Nations leader praised Hitler to a reporter in 2002, saying the Nazi dictator bribed 6 million Jews to prevent Jews from taking over the world, the Jewish organization B'nai B'rit contacted Manitoba First Nations leaders and educators and arranged for a visit to Israel. McLean himself organized a second mission with B'nai B'rit's assistance in the summer of 2004. Nearly 30 First Nations educators and community members head their own way. In summer 2005, McLean and Alan Useem of B'nai B'rit led 44 Native leaders on a third tour of Israel. "We met with Israeli government officials from the Foreign Ministry and NGO representatives and discussed how Israel might be able to assist impoverished Canadian First Nations communities to develop infrastructure using Israeli expertise," Useem said. "We have since had meetings with the Assembly of First Nations Chiefs to discuss initiatives," Useem said. "Both peoples have suffered persecution. We've lost our land. We've had to struggle to preserve our language and culture in the face of great adversity, and we have both been victims of genocide." As for Mr. McLean setting up residence in Jerusalem, he has not set a date yet, but will be moving in the next few months.
More information on these and other brand new stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
I'm gone.
That was a California band called Fret Not and a Julie Miller track called All My Tears. Lovely. And now we go back to the last part of the interview with Arian Bradlow in Galilee.
So the next day, I never heard from my friend, but the day after, she called me. She was so excited. The daughter called her and said, "You'll never guess what happened." And she related the story. That night, in the middle of the night, this man, dressed in white, walked into that hospital room where she was, came to the foot of her bed, and she watched him walk in. And she said, "Who are you, and why haven't you got shoes on?" He came in with bare feet, and he wore a gown draped in such a way that was from her home country, where she came from. And she says, "Do I know you from Algeria?" And he says, "You have heard about me." He says, "But I am come to you because my servant asked me to come. And I am going to pray for you, and you will be healed and you will go home." Well, the next morning, she was so excited. She was yelling at the doctors, "Let me go home, let me go home. I'm fine." Here, you know, everybody thought she's going to die at night. And they wouldn't let her go home. They did more tests. The next day, she went home, and she lived on another 6-7 years. But God visited her often. And it was just a work that God did himself. Now, what I'm thrilled about is that God told me to pray for the supernatural visitation, which I have done for years and years and years before I even knew any visitation. But then all of a sudden, after about 10, 15 years, God started telling me all these Jewish people and Muslims, and believe it or not, some Christians too, they seem to be the hardest, started telling me how Jesus came to them supernaturally in very real ways, and how I supernaturally came to them and ministered unto them. And they were so upset because I didn't stay and have a cup of coffee. Well, of course, I wasn't there. I was in my own bed, sound asleep. I didn't know what was going on. But I visited them by the Spirit and prayed for them, and God did a miracle. So I was thrilled that God showed me, especially in this area, how to pray. So I don't worry about anything. I'm just very conscious to pray when I look at somebody or when I hear about a situation, to ask God to supernaturally visit them, because I don't have the answers within myself. But I know who does, and I ask my friend Jesus, please go and visit them. It gave me such a thrill and encouraged my heart so much to understand how important our prayers are. When Jesus said to that lady who was dying, "I am come to you because my servant asked me to," I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That was really thrilling to me. Of course, you know, I've got lots and lots of stories, but, you know, that would take too long to talk about. But that just is part of the thrill that I had, knowing that God has done it. But God has never let me speak about this really publicly, you know, in big gatherings and voice it all over, because these are his people. It was a hidden word, and few people have known about it when they ask me some of the things. But I don't name names and I don't name places, because I feel that we need to also protect what God's doing. Now, there's another work that God's doing supernaturally among the Muslims in Jericho, and that has become very known. But up here, it's a very quiet work. So I'm the type of person, I'm behind the scenes, but I ask the Lord supernaturally to visit. So when I go out ministering to the different nations, my main prayer is, "God, I don't have the answer for these people, but you do. Would you please visit them supernaturally and meet their needs and whatever they need, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, or whatever. And that's how I pray.
And it's certainly a very effective way that Erin prays. It produces incredible results. Absolutely amazing. If you want to contact Erin, you can do it through ourselves. Email us at info@kingdomcome.org.uk and we'll pass it on to her. I'm going to finish now with a song written by Brian Houston and performed by Belfast man Robin Mark. And this is called Work a Miracle in My Heart.
You've been listening to In the Name of God from Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off contribution now. Join us again next week for more music news and an interview with Northern Ireland's Peter Hewitt on children at risk in Eastern Europe. Slán agus banna tí, bye and God bless.